Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who will be listening around the world from the Internet. I know some of you will download these and use these in your homes, in your families, in your little group gatherings, and we are hopeful that you will receive a blessing from this message that we have this time. We're going to be looking and thinking on vines and branches. Now, for some of us in the Northern Hemisphere, vines and branches aren't really growing much right now, but some of you in Kenya or Brazil or India or various places like that, you're still got vines and branches growing where you are, certainly in Australia. So we're looking at vines and branches, and our scripture is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 5 through 11. Jesus is speaking here, and he's saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And let me throw in right here another little piece of scripture about joy, because the Word tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if your joy would be complete, your strength would be complete as well. Now let's think a little bit about vines and branches. This is not going to be the typical message that you might expect to hear from this particular scripture. You know, vines are very interesting plants, and they serve a number of functions. Vines can be decorative, fruit-bearing, nuisances, and or poisonous. The types of vines we have around can make a great deal of difference in our environment. I mean, you can have vines going across the ground, you can have them going up the side of a building. You know, I've always kind of enjoyed buildings that had English ivy growing over them. You can have vines growing up trees, or you can have vines growing up a little pole and across a wire or a string. And those vines tend to be the kind of vines that you get some sort of a sustenance from because of the fruit that they have on them. It may be a fruit, it may be a vegetable, but you can get something from that. And you know, some vines, while they produce fruit, they don't necessarily produce what you want. But these vines, as I say, can attach themselves about anywhere. And it's very important, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, about your attachments. Thinking in the terms of vines and kind of drawing a parallel between vines. So, vines that attach themselves to something tend to attach themselves to something that is stable. You see, like a building or a tree, something that is firm and stable. And that is really important because you want to be attached to something that is stable, something that is sure. The word Jesus used in our scripture was of a vine that in the Greek meant as coiling about a support. Now Jesus said that he was the vine and we are the branches. So I could get a picture there of Jesus coiled around the Father for great support. for something that's substantial. All you have to do is read when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, how he coiled around the Father at that moment, saying, you know, if this can be taken from me, then fine, but if not, then he's going to do the Father's will. Jesus spoke of how close he and the Father were. And many times he would do that. They were very close. Jesus was so intertwined with the Father that they experienced the same things at the same time. Jesus spent a great deal of time with the Father in fellowship, a communion, if you will. Now, I said they experienced the same things at the same time. Do you know that God experiences the same thing at the same time with you that you experience? You see, as believers, and even unbelievers, God knows. But as believers, He's there with us all the time. The Holy Spirit of God is inside us. How could God not experience what we experience at the same time we do if He's there with us all the time? Now, His response to what is experienced may be very different than our own responses. And that's one of the reasons that we must always work to make certain that we interpret what happens in our lives and we relate to what happens in our lives the way He would respond to something and not through a fleshly response that we might have. So it's so important that we become so intertwined in our thinking and in our lives and our behaviors and everything with the Father that we wrap around Him like a vine, because we're the branches of the vine, which is Christ. And He is wrapped around the Father. And in the branch, we find ourselves, and in the branch is the Holy Spirit. So the whole Godhead is involved in the growth of this vine and how we attach and how we intertwine and how we work together. When I say work together, I'm talking about with God, to bring about the things that God wants brought about. That's why Jesus spent so much time in prayer. Many times it says that He went off to be by Himself. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He asked a certain group to come along with Him, and He dropped off one bunch in one spot, and then He had some others come even closer with Him. But He spent that time in communion, in prayer, with the Father, communion, communication with Him. The important part about this communication is, remember, when a vine clings to something, it attaches to it. It doesn't attach and let go and attach and let go and attach and let go. If you've ever encountered a vine that you had to remove from something, it's work, because it becomes so attached. And that's the way we must be in our relationship to God. We must make certain that we intertwine, we wind around, that we become a part of what God wants for us to do for us and to do with us and to do through us. These are the characteristics that we must develop as our mind is renewed, so that we do not give more gravity to the things of the world and how the world does things, and less gravity to the godly things. Those are the things that must be reversed. We come out of the worldly system, and we must learn to function in God's kingdom. And this is a process that must take place. You know, everyone is attached in some manner to one or more things. We're attached to people. We're attached to our homes or our jobs. We have attachments in life. And where we attach and how we attach really very much dictates what our future is. Where we have attached, we can look at in the past and see what was good or what was not so good about that. We can even look at our current situations and say, well, you know, maybe this attachment, it can, and as I say, this can be an employer. This could be just a house that you're living in. It can be anything. It's not just always other people either. It may be movies that you're attached to or behaviors that you're attached to. It can be the kind of food that you're attached to eating that needs to change. It can be anything. But we all have attachments, and understand that in God's kingdom, we must attach to it. In Satan's kingdom, it's a lot like poison ivy. It will attach to you, and it will wind around you, and it will poison you. God does not, however, force himself. He makes himself present. He makes himself known, and it's up to us to attach to him. Satan, on the other hand, wants to attach to you. Demonic activity wants to attach to you. Because if it doesn't attach to you, it really can't function because it has to attach someplace. We need to be attached, but we need to be attached to God. And we need to do that with a willing mind. We need to say, wait a minute, I choose to attach here, but I do not choose to attach there. Or we may need to say, I choose to attach here, but I choose to detach from there. And detachment, as I said, is not always an easy process. As I said, if you've ever cleaned vines off of a tree, a bush, or just a brick wall, I mean just a brick wall, forget the tree and the bush, you've got to almost have a wire brush to scrub all of the little attachments that come about in that process of attaching. Now, but I want you to see that we need to be attached to God in that very same way that a vine would attach to a brick wall of a home or a stone wall of a building. We need to have so many attachments. That only comes from time in the Word, time spent with God, time in that communion that I was talking about that Jesus spent with the Father. Attachments have a great bearing on the life a person carries out, endures, or fulfills. Now, when I say endures there, I'm not talking about suffers through. I'm talking about anything we do, we're enduring through it. If we stick with something, we're enduring through it. So, let me say it again. These attachments have a great bearing on the life a person carries out, endures, or fulfills. Because we all have a fulfillment that we need to carry out in our lives. God has a perfect plan for our lives. And so it's very important that we allow Him, that we attach to Him, and let His plan become clear to us. Now understand, the first time you get one little attachment on there, you're not necessarily going to get the full picture. I think sometimes people have unrealistic expectations because what they do is they want to do one little attachment and say, okay, God, here I am, now you take care of everything. He didn't leave us here for that purpose. He left us here for us to allow Him to work through us to take care of everything. We are His instruments. But, you know, in a musical instrument, you can only play an instrument that you know how to play or that will yield to the bow if it's a violin or the pick if it's a guitar or whatever. It is, in fact, the attachments in our lives which shape us. A number of years ago, a study was done to see what effect certain movies had on young minds as they watched by young people. The findings were interesting. I found them very interesting. It seems the effect on behavior was based on how the viewer had already attached his view of life. Those who had accepted criminal behavior as a way of life identified and had sympathy with the quote-unquote bad guys, while those viewers who identified with the quote-unquote good guys were those who had not accepted criminal behavior as a way of life. You see, it is identity of themselves that they clung to and wound their lives around. So one group of young people could watch a movie of gangsters, and if they saw that kind of lifestyle, if they had already identified with that kind of lifestyle, they would use what they learned from that so they could be bigger gangsters. But if they had not identified with that kind of life, they would see the other side of life in the movie, and that's where they would identify. It was the identity within the person themselves that brought about the growth of a particular behavior. I see this all the time with people who have a poor self-image. They will attach themselves to people who will prove to them that they are worthless. I see people who have a good self-image, and they will attach themselves to people who will prove to them that they are worthwhile people. Now, let me tell you, all people are worthwhile. Let me take a moment just to talk about that for just a moment or two. All people are worthwhile. Now, how do we know this? How do we know from Scripture that all people are worthwhile? Because the Word says in John, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in 17, "God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." If Jesus came for every single person who was alive at the time, who would ever live, then that means everybody's worthwhile. Now, who is the person that would have the right to say what value was in a person? It's the person who created them, and that would be God, wouldn't it? If you were to make something that you were going to sell, you would place the dollar value on that when you sold it, wouldn't you? Ah, but now let me tell you something very interesting about what happens here. I've seen many people go into business, and they will make something, and they will sell it, or they will purchase things to sell, but they will price them way, way too low. Why? Because they're not pricing the item, they are reflecting what they think they are worth. They, as an individual, are worth, not what the item is worth. I've seen other people who will price something way too high because they think too highly of themselves. And so they think whatever they have is worth 5 or 10 times what it's really worth. And then I have seen very successful people who knew and understood themselves, had an accurate picture of themselves, and therefore when they priced the item, they priced it according to its worth and not their worth. And guess what? They succeeded in what they did. Because they attached proper value to things, just as God attached proper value to the highest form of His creation, human beings. Now, of course, there's people are rampant in the world who would tell people that human beings are the most worthless things on the planet, and the whole planet would be better off if they were all gone. Well, that would only come from the demonic kingdom, because he's mad at us, because he doesn't like that God created us. Because he feels like that his job was replaced, and it was, because he was the leader of praise and worship in heaven. And when he was cast out, and later God created man to praise and worship him. So we took his place, and he's never appreciated that fact. He's never found joy in that. But you see, it's how people identified with themselves, how these young people, when they saw these movies, how they identified themselves within the context of the movie that would dictate what they would glean from that movie. Very interesting. But people tend to identify themselves and cling to whatever they have wound their lives around, whatever they have looked at as this is my place or my lot in life. And oftentimes, they have made a poor choice because they misunderstood their own value, and particularly their value to God. They just missed it. So, what about fruit from vines? Each vine has its own fruit. In the case of poison ivy, it will live much like a parasite and may eventually choke out the very life of the host plant that's been giving it support, plus causing great angst to any third entity such as humans coming into contact with it. Now, I was one of those humans that it used to cause great angst and difficulty with, because I could walk. There was a time when I could walk within 10 feet of poison ivy, and somehow I would get it. I didn't even have to touch it. It just seemed like it sort of floated through the air at me. While other vines, such as grapes, will live in a symbiotic relationship with the host plant and bear much fruit for its own propagation. Own propagation. What do I mean there? I mean, when the grapes fall to the ground, the seeds, then what's the purpose of fruit? Think about this. Do you know what the purpose of the fruit is that we consume? The purpose of the fruit that we consume is to fertilize the seed. It is sort of the womb, if you will, that the seed grows in. It gives it all the nutrients it needs to become a healthy plant. And that's the purpose of that. It also has the other purpose of doing what? Benefiting a third entity, such as man, by giving sustenance to us so that we can get nutrition and we can eat well. So there are different kinds of vines, and we have to decide what kind we're going to be. Do you want to be something that reproduces itself where you go? Would you like the world to be full of people like you? Would the world like for the world to be full of people like you? I remember when my wife and I were first married, I said to her, our function is to be a blessing everywhere we go. That's our whole purpose, is to be a blessing everywhere we go. So the fruit that I saw was like that of the grapes. Look what the grape does. The grape can plant itself. You have seeds, and so it will grow more grapes. The grape, from the grape, you can get juice. From the grape, you can just eat the grape and get food. Or you can dry the grape and you get raisins. Look how functional the grape is and what it will do. Each of us needs to choose carefully what we attach and cling to as we travel, and I have to put in the word here, the biblical word here, sojourn, through this life. We must do that. We must choose the kind of result that will happen from our lives. What kind of fruit do we want to bear? What kind of vine do we want to be? Where do we want to attach ourselves? People say that Christianity sort of takes over your life. No, you have to take on Christianity. You have to take on Christ. Paul says in Galatians that people clothe themselves with Christ. We have to take Him on. We have to take on His being. He will, upon invitation, allow His Holy Spirit to come into us. Satan, on the other hand, will dominate, will take over, will control, will end up binding, crushing, and destroying. Because why? Because he comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And anybody who is someone who is controlled by Satan will end up doing those same things to themselves in their life and to those people around them. Anybody who's filled with the Holy Spirit of God and functioning with the Holy Spirit of God, on the other hand, will be much like the grape. They will reproduce themselves. They will provide a high-quality nutritious drink. They will provide a high-quality nutritious food. And they will provide a dried food that can be carried along that doesn't need refrigeration or anything and that will last through days, through dry places. I choose to be a part of that vine. But these things are a choice. Yes, I said choose. You see, choose we must, and in the choosing we determine if we will bear fruit and what type of fruit we are to bear. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you wish, and it will be, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Now, this is where people miss it. Why is He going to give it to us? To enhance us? No, to bring glory to the Father. Because how do people know that we're attached to God? Because they see God bless us, work through us, carry out His Word through us. This is to my Father's glory, Jesus said, that you bear much fruit. So it's to the glory of God that you bear fruit, that I bear fruit, that anyone bears fruit. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. That's how our discipleship is shown in the world, is we bear fruit. If you're hanging around people who aren't bearing fruit, you either need to convert them or find new friends. You need to cling to wherever there is life, wherever the glory of God is. You need to cling to that. That doesn't mean that we don't go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, but how do we compel them to come in? We don't compel them to come in by breaking off their arm and beating them over the head with it until they submit. No, we compel them to come in because they look at the glory of God working in, around, and through us, and they say, I don't know what you got, but I want it too. That's what's compelling. That they see the power of God in the believer. When we choose to wrap ourselves around God, then we are empowered to bear the fruit of God. We're empowered to bear the fruit of God, and God will show His blessing through us and to us. And in doing so, He will be glorified. Be as the grapevine and bear much fruit. And that's my message for this session.